I'm going to use the text, Ephesians 6:4. We won't have a responsive reading. You're just going to read a verse or two. Really, maybe just the one verse. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful for the Word You've given us and for the wisdom that lies therein. Give us wisdom to understand what You have to say to us, and make Thy Word a blessing to each one of us today. Help us to be good parents and to raise our children, give them the best opportunity to walk for You. Forgive us where we fail You, and have Your way in this meeting. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I started off in October before some of my sickness. See my notes here? And we talked about God and Him being the example, and about how to raise your children, what good fathers were and bad fathers were, and so on and so forth, and that God is a God of mercy, and He'd be the example for it. Today, I want to talk about mothers and how important it is, mothers in disciplining children. In my personal case, in our experience, I was gone most of the time. I have been most of my life. Most of our married life, I traveled an awful lot. I did a lot of evangelism and being a pastor, working during the day and then visiting almost every night. My wife had the responsibility of taking care of those children or else they didn't get disciplined. And for 30 years, she didn't work outside the home. And we put up with what I could do on two and three jobs. So discipline was really in her hands. Now, I know some women say they leave the discipline all in the husband's hands. And they will tell the children, well, I'm going to tell your daddy and when he gets back, you know. And, of course, there may be some instances where you need to do something like that. But you as a mother have a great deal of influence on your children. Wonderful, wonderful thing. Mothers are wonderful things. They really are. They have more compassion on you generally than a father does. And you can get away with a little more with your mother generally. But the idea is that there's a responsibility there. It really is. You have to be sure that those children are raised properly. And so there is to be some talking going between husband and wife. You're young, and you have different ideas. We were thinking coming in this morning, somebody had a sign out there, and they paid good money for it, Thank God. And I guess they're going the right direction. I think people ought to believe in God and not evolution. But Jesus saves would have been a better use of the money. Thank God. Well, but we have 7 billion people with different ideas. So we marry somebody. And all, you know, basically there's the interest between us. We're not thinking about children. We're not thinking about religion. We're not thinking about beliefs or politics. Most of that doesn't come into play until after you get married. You need to get together. Mothers and fathers need to be together. They need to have a united front, because you have to understand something. That sweet little angel that you think there is a psychologist. They've got a PhD in psychology already. They know how to work you. They know how to cry at just the right time. They know how to fake a cry. Now, some experienced mothers get to the place they can know just exactly how that baby's crying. They really can. But then kids, as they grow up and they get a little bigger, well, they don't have to worry about the cry thing. Some of them still use it if you let them. But they know how to work you. And in our day, we have so much divorce. And It's just a sign of the times. I don't know what it is. But in raising children, the children use one against another. Now, they'll do that in their own home with their own mother and their own father. They know they can do certain things with mother, and they can do certain things with father. They know certain things, don't ask dad that, or don't ask mom that, you know, because they know you. They already know how you think. But in the divorce situation, then they really have. The parents are already not cooperating. They're separated. And so the child will use one against the other and work the things like it. You need to work on that because they don't need those getaways. What they need is to have a good, solid, disciplined plan, and mother and father agree upon it. Now, I know you're not going to agree on everything, but bless your heart, you ought to talk some of these things out. You need to get together on it. You need a united front. It's a war. Hey, I've raised five. Over 30 years. It's a war. It's like teenagers in school. All of my school teaching years were middle school. So anywhere from 6th to the 9th grade, depending on the school system. And these kids, they're psychologists. They know what they can get away with and what they can't get away with. And they're going to push you to the limits at all times. So you need a united front. So it says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Well, I'm going to substitute mothers in there for today. You mothers, provoke not your children to wrath. You say, women don't do that. Oh, yes, they do. Oh, yes, they do. So many lines of differences on what you expect from when I was young have changed to right now. I mean, my sister could not come in after midnight. I mean, it was a major operation if that happened. And I was a boy. I got away with a whole lot of things that my sister, she was 7 years older than me, could not get away with. Today, boys and girls are, you know, they're treated alike in sports and almost everything like that. So, you mothers, you want to bring up your children what in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Now, that nurture is the feeding. It is the feelings. It is the attitude of taking care of, being a blessing. And mamas are good at that. They're just real good at that. But they also ought to have the admonition of the Lord. You need to speak to your children about the Word of God just as much as your husband would. You need to tell them what's right and what's wrong. Kids need lines. They need boundaries. You cross this boundary, you're going to lose. You're not going to win. Now, that was my attitude. And Verlene was the same way. We came up with certain things, and believe me, we think differently. As much as we are so much alike now, after 59 years of marriage next month. Wow. We still think differently because we're two different people. But we came to agreement on things on our children, and don't cross a line. You cross a line, you got to pay for it. And if they don't learn that, they're going to work you. If you don't have the backbone to stand up to them, they will work you. They will take you to your limit because, as I said, they're the greatest psychologists in the world. Nobody's better than kids. So what we want to do is bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And what I talked about on fathers back in October, basically everything else applies to women also. But look at Exodus 20:12. This is the law. You want to know where the law is given? It's in Exodus chapter 20. Now, there's several other places you can find it, but here was the giving of the law. And in that giving of the law, verse 12, Exodus 20:12, Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Excuse me for my voice, please. Somebody was telling me they had it figured out that the wind that came through the other day brought all the cedar this way. And then the wind that's coming through today is bringing the cedar back. So I think we got a double dose of it today. At least I've got a double dose of it. Here's the law. And in the law, he says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Honor thy father and thy mother. Now, some of these boys get to be teenagers. Now, some of the ladies think when they're young, they don't need the husband, and they get divorced and whatever, and they don't have a man in the house, and she's raising. That's fine when they're like this. But when they're 18 years old and like that, they don't think the same. I heard a story. It's not necessarily a great example, but this is supposed to be a true story. This boy got to be 18, and he thought he was a man. And so his mother told him to do something, clean up his room or whatever, and he cussed her out and told her, I'm a man, I don't have to obey you. She said, okay. And when her husband came home, he's a pretty tough old boy, she told him what had happened. And so he went into the boy's room. He was there. And he said, I heard we had some problems today. Yeah. Said, you didn't obey your mother. He said, I'm a man. I don't have to obey any woman. And the dad says, well, I heard you were very disrespectful. You cussed her out. Yeah, I'm a man. I said, you really are a man. He said, okay. I don't let any man talk to my wife that way and just beat the snot out of him. Now, that would take care of the problem. You need to stand up to those little wills. And so I know it's not necessarily your nature sometimes. You want to be sweet and kind and loving and forgiving and whatever, but you need to have a little bit of backbone. And stand up, and I don't care if they're a great big kid. Now, I taught in the public schools in the inner city for 20 years. I remember a little 5-foot-tall English teacher. And there wasn't a 300-pound football player that would stand up to her. She had a rock will. She would not put up with it. No matter what you wanted to do, she would not put up with it. You either get a little bit of this in your system. The kids don't need to know that they can get away with you what they can't get away with their dad. You understand what I'm saying? Any of you old mamas agree with me? Old mamas? Honor thy father and their mother. God's commandment is you honor the mother also. You honor your mother. You don't just love her and use her and bring your dirty laundry to her. You honor the mother. And look at Proverbs 1:8. Another one listing specifically to mothers. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace under thy head and chains about thy neck. The law of thy mother. Mama's got laws, and you might be, well, don't know what to say. Obey the law of your mother. Mamas have some rules. They have some help for you. Adults have some help for you. You know, you ought to teach your kids to respect any adult. Amen. Really ought to. They ought to be respectful to adults, whether they're teachers or whether they're just people on the road. You know, have you thought some of these thugs? They want to beat up on some 80-year-old woman who's walking along like my wife's walking, with a push cart or a cane walker. Thank you, walker. Cane. You know something? They're just a bunch of cowards. They think they're getting their name in the paper and they're being somebody big and they're tough because they're taking guns and going into school and shooting innocent people where there are no guns. Why don't you attack a police station like that? attack an army depot where they got the guns on the peg. No, they're cowards. And they talk about this one guy. Here's an old man. I think he's about 80 years old. And this young 25 or 30 comes up and just knocks him out with one punch. And he's bragging on it. Man, if you're fighting somebody that's 70 or 80, you got no way but to lose. If you whip him, so what? I mean, you whipped a 70-year-old man? Does that make you a big hero? What if you lose to him? Then you really lose. You lose both ways. But these idiots, they don't think right. I watch the television and I read papers. And I hear about these experiences. Some of these people, they're crazy. It's not gun laws that's the problem. It's got crazy people out there. If they don't kill you with guns, they'll kill you with cars. They don't kill you with... By the way, I think last year in the United States, 10,000 people were killed by guns. 34,000 were killed by cars. We're going to limit the cars? No, we're not going to do that. They're crazy people. They're mentally deranged. They're not thinking straight. So you get $25 and go to jail for 25 years. You're not thinking straight. Anyway, the law of thy mother. My mother had a couple of sayings that were, I thought, really good. I still use them today. If something big bad happens, she would say sometimes, well, that's just too big for today. We'll worry about that tomorrow. And clean it up and go on, you know. And she lived life. She made it through life. Now, maybe the Depression taught them a lot of the lessons they had. They might not have been near as wise if they hadn't been grown people when the Depression hit and they lost everything and they had to figure out a new way of doing things. My daddy had a grocery store. And I had the books after he died. There was $15,000 in Depression money owed him. He paid off all his debts after he came to San Antonio. And my daddy hated debt. Oh, man, did he hate debt. He was afraid of debt. Even after things got prosperous and everything's going good, oh, he didn't like debt. I think only two people paid off those debts. And the rest of them didn't. Now, you think how much $15,000 in Depression money was. He went broke feeding people. When I buried him, I had a man come up to him and said, my family would have starved if it hadn't been for the kindness and generosity of your dad. But I don't know that he ever paid the debt that his family might have had. You know something? We need to instill in our children and mothers, you got the best opportunity. Before they go to school, you got them all day long. You say, well, what can you teach them? Billy and Eddie, before they could go to school, could quote 100 verses of Scripture. And you know something else they learned? They learned to cry quietly. You want to cry? Go over there and sit in the corner. I don't want to hear you. You can cry all day long if you want to. Just don't make any noise with it. And if you do, I'll spank you, give you a reason to cry. You know? Now, that was Verlene. About as much as anything. You're going to cry quietly. That is a beautiful thing. You may think it's torture. No, that is a beautiful thing. Cry all you want to. Just don't disturb the whole house. Now, you got to get them a little older than babies before you can actually teach them that. But you need the law of your mother. Mother needs to be a lawgiver just like daddy needs to be a lawgiver. Mother needs to have a backbone just like daddy needs to have a backbone. And mother needs to stand up for herself, even to teenage boys. I spanked Eddie one time when he was small. And we were in a restaurant, but he was just being terrible. I picked him up and spanked him, set him down and told him to be quiet. There was a lady in that restaurant. And oh, she walked over to me and she was really mad. She was furious. I saw what you did to that child. I said, yes, ma'am. I'm glad you did. She said, let me tell you how you ought to do it. She said, the other day, my 16-year-old daughter, she took a dress out of the closet and she pulled it out and says, I don't like that, and threw it on the floor. I ironed all that's back in the days before wash and wear, you understand? That was back in the days when you ironed everything. And she took down 5 or 6 dresses and threw them in the floor. I'd have said, I'd have spanked her behind so bad. She wouldn't have sat down for a week. She said, well, I just picked out a dress and said, wear this one. Now, that's not the kind of mother you need to be. She was rebuking me, but bless her heart, how can you have a child so spoiled? You iron a dress for a 16-year-old who ought to have been ironing her own dresses, and she can throw your ironed work into the floor, and you just don't do any discipline about it at all. There needs to be a law of your mother. You need to know you've got to deal with some things, and mama's going to stand her ground. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Look at Proverbs 29:15. I do apologize for my voice and for my brain today. Proverbs 29:15. I'm talking about mothers. The rod and reproof do what? Give wisdom. I know all these idiots out there teaching today think this is crazy. Oh, listen. We learn from pain. There's a lot of lessons you will never learn unless it hurts you. It's pain. If you're going to whip them enough that it hurts. But a child left to himself bringeth what? His mother to shame. Have you walked down a mall lately? You ever seen some of these little kids and what how they're doing with their parents and whatever? It's shameful. If you have to tell your child 15 times to do something, they don't respect you. Now, maybe twice, but they ought to do it on the first time. They ought to respect your voice. Otherwise, how do you keep them from running out in front of a bus or a Big Mac garbage truck? No, don't run. That ought to be the first thing your kid learns. No. I've even got a dog that knows that. No. He's going after the little cat. So I got a little bitty kitten. She's so delicate and so slow. And he's just a muscular 50 pounds. He's a blue heeler. And he's tough. I'll put down 1/10 of the food for the little kitty cat and put 9/10 of it over. And he just... and then goes after hers. And for her to be able to eat, I have to say, no. And he looks up at me. And he'll sit right there. But you don't get his attention on anything else. He's going to be watching that food till it's all gone. No, no, no. And it shouldn't be you have to tell him 15 times no. You ought to be able to tell him one time no. And then stop right there and do some thinking. That's safety for your children, mothers. They need to respect your voice, not just your husband's voice. They need to respect your voice, that when you tell them no, they automatically stop whatever they're doing. What's wrong? What am I doing wrong? Where am I messing up? You need to have that little word down in their vocabulary. Bringeth his mother to shame. I would say that I've seen a lot of mothers that look very shameful because their kids simply did not respect them. And if they don't respect you in the house, they won't respect you at the grocery store. Now, I would be very careful about spanking any of my children today anywhere outside where I wasn't careful when I was raising mine. I could pick them up and spank them anywhere. Set them down and tell them to cry quiet and go on. But today, with the way the laws are acting, I would just whisper in their little ear when I get you home. Oh, yeah, you may embarrass me right now, but you will pay for it when you get home. Hey, mamas, backbone. Mamas, rule of law. Mamas, the law of the mother. Ought to be worth something. The rod and reproof give wisdom. Now, that's what the Bible says. The rod and reproof give wisdom. I'm going to talk about more of that in discipline when I get to it more later. But if they don't have the rod and reproof, and of course, you have to be reasonable in everything you do. We don't beat people. You might have a limit of three spats with a board or something like that. And by the way, you ought really not to spank your children when you're angry. When you're angry right then, tell them, wait, this isn't over. We're going to deal with this later, but you get over your anger because you don't want to hurt your children. You can. Even a woman, you can hurt your children. And the rod and reproof give wisdom. It gives them a whole lot of good sense. But if they don't have the rod and reproof, you're going to look like a shameful mother. You're going to be ashamed. And people are going to look at you, and you're going to think, oh man, I can't control my children. Isn't that right? Look at Proverbs 14:1. Proverbs 14:1. This is such a tremendous verse, just so much wisdom sitting right in it. And I've seen it. I'm an old man. I can talk from experience. I've seen it. Every wise woman buildeth her house. That's what a wise woman does. I know before you got married, before you had kids, you didn't think about all the responsibility that was going to come your way and all the work it was going to be when you got married and started having kids. Bless your heart, kids change the whole equation. They do. And if you had five like we had, why, they really changed the equation. I mean, you're a hostage. I can't just blow up at my boss and walk away from my job just any time I want to like I could when I was single. You've got to say, I've got to have money to pay the bills and to buy the milk, don't you? Every wise woman builds her house. I think one of my greatest blessings in my life is the marriage that we built. We were just two young, stupid kids that fell in love and got married. And there's a whole lot of things we didn't think about that we had to all of a sudden think about. And it's not that you're dumb or stupid. No, it's just life. You're not thinking about all the responsibilities that are going to come your way, but they do. And those kids bring them. Every one of those kids brings them. And you just have all these responsibilities. Well, a wise woman, Solomon said, buildeth her house. You need to make decisions that build your house. Now, I'm not talking about the physical walls and the rocks and the fireplace and whatever. I'm talking about the relationships. You build happiness into your home. You build obedience into your home. You build honor to God into your home. You build honor to your husband in your home. Wives that put down their husbands continually in front of their children when the children are small, they're going to have a problem when those kids get big. Because big boys don't respect little women. I'm sorry. It doesn't work that way. Unless they've been taught that through their life. Build your house not for just today. Build your house for 15 years from now. 20 years from now. And a wise woman will build her house on a solid foundation of the Word of God, clear rules, clear lines, respect for her husband, respect for the children, respect for God and His Word. Man, that goes a long way. Every kid out there is going to get in trouble. They get those teenage hormones running and they're going through puberty and they're wanting to be a man or a woman. Back in my day, you didn't get to be a man until you were 21. I got married at 18. I couldn't wait to get 21. So many things, I was a husband, but I didn't have any rights, you know. And then after I got 21, I woke up the next day at 45. Isn't that the truth? Man, all that work and all that responsibility. But you take responsibility and you act upon that responsibility and you do something that's not just easy for today, but will hold you in good stead 15 or 20 years down the line. You build a relationship with a man that's not perfect. I've never met the perfect husband. By the way, I've never met the perfect wife. My wife perfect? No, she just works for me. She's perfect for me. I'm glad that I got her. That's that old woman back there with white hair. Build your house. Now, I'll tell you what. She built her house. She worked at building it. Even when she was mad at me, she did not badmouth me to the children. Hey, watch your mouth. Let me tell you something else, ladies. Don't badmouth him to your parents. You'll forgive him by tomorrow. They'll never forgive him. They don't forget. Keep your mouth shut, especially when it comes to criticism of your husband or your wife, especially not to the children. Build your house. Now, a wise woman builds her house. That makes good sense. But look what it says. The foolish plucketh it down with her hands. I wish I could say that most of the women I've met are wise. I don't think many of them are. But boy, there are a lot of foolish women out there. I have for 56, 57 good years been listening to people's marriage problems. I don't consider myself a marriage counselor. I'm just a pastor. And I don't have a lot of psychological advice. I have the Bible. If you go beyond the Bible, I don't have any answers for you. Well, I can give you a little good common sense or experience or something like that. But I built my life on the Bible. My purpose here is not to be so entertaining for you. My purpose is to make this word clear and apply it. I think that's my job all the time. Simplify the Word of God and apply it to you in your life today. I think I've done my job. The foolish plucketh it down with their hands. Think with me about the last three or four arguments you had with your husband. How many of them were important? Probably none. Most of them are feelings. Feelings come and go. You say some things, man, you're embarrassed. If everybody knew what you said or how you got in your fight, you're plucking your house down. You're plucking your house down. I heard a whore, a professional prostitute, say that if wives did their job at home, they would be out of business. Take care of your home. Don't be so flighty. Take care of your business. Be a wife. Be a mother. Have some backbone. Set some perimeters. Respect the husband. Respect the house. Build your house. Now, you may have to do some very humiliating things to build a house. Dirty things. Ask some of these carpenters around here. Ask some of these guys that do building. You get dirty building. Hey, it's hard work. You go home tired. Same way. But what are you building? You're building something that people can't see, but is more valuable than anyone you can see. This house Solomon's talking about is a much more valuable house to build. It brings greater satisfaction than you can possibly get out of that physical house you have out there. Don't pluck your house down. And listen, I've literally seen this. This is true. They just sit there and just pluck their house every week, every week. They're tearing down this wall, tearing down that wall. They're fighting over this. They're fighting over that. They got their feelings hurt over this or over that. Come on, grow up. If you want good children, you're going to have to put them in a good home. I was on a jury of a murder, rape and murder. A woman that was in the Air Force out here at Lackland had been running at night, and these two young men, they were 21, 22, grabbed her on the side of the road, took her out, they raped her, I don't know how many times, they beat her, and then they stabbed her and killed her. And that was the jury that I was on. In the trial, the mother gets up in defense of her son. And she goes through this tearful plea for her son, his life, because he was slated for the death penalty. How what a good son he had been. And how she just loved him and he just loved her. And she painted a picture of this guy as being a good kid. And then the prosecution brought up the police reports over the years. She herself had called the police, I don't know, 8 or 10 times, 15 times, I don't remember the number now, to protect her from her son. And they had this on the police record, you see. That's not a good mother. That's not a good mother. Well, she's a mother. Oh, she pleads for her son. You're going to plead for your son. I know that's the way it goes. But, hey, she didn't raise him right. You say, well, he might not have been able to be raised right. That is true. I have seen good parents have bad kids. And I've seen some really good kids come out of bad parents. You see, we're all different. And there's no guarantee that if you do everything the Bible tells you to do, everything will be perfect in your life. It doesn't work that way. But you sure got a better chance. Your odds are an awful lot better if you follow the directions that are right in here. The foolish plucketh it down with her hands. You will be crying in your latter years about all your woes and your hard times and your troubles when you plucked the house down by yourself while you were living it. Build your house. Don't pluck it down with your hands. Look at Proverbs 31, verse 27. Proverbs 31. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Now this is the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31. And it's a beautiful picture. And bless your heart, you can have that. You can be that. I would say it would be a great goal to go for. That many of these things would be said about you by your children. And your husband. And you know, how do you get anything better for your children? I'm thinking great education, college education, or training in some skill. health and strength, enough money to take care of yourself. Or how about a blessed home? I think the best thing you can do for your children is build them a real good home to grow up in, where they're safe, they're secure, they know they're loved. I was somewhat rebellious in my teenage years, but I always knew I was loved. I was always welcome at my dad's house. And your kids need to know that. They need to know that they are important to you. And that you want them to live a good life. You want them to have a successful life. You want them to have a happy life. I knew people who were embarrassed to take other kids into their home. I never was that way. Now, we were poor. We had a poor home. My mother had a beauty shop in the house so she could stay home with the kids. My dad and mother, they had all that debt on them from the Depression, and they came here. They bought a little house on the south side of San Antonio, paid it out in 3 years. They made three payments a month. They wanted that house paid out. I said my daddy was afraid of debt. Oh, my mother wanted a nice new brick house. Daddy said, no, this is a good house. He wasn't going in debt for a nice new brick house. You know, if you have a home where you're loved, then it doesn't matter what the furniture is like. It doesn't matter how new a car you drive. Now, like I said, I was raised by Depression parents. I was born in the Depression, grew up in it, but I was small. But I guess my mother had some pride or something. She wouldn't let me wear anything patched. I guess because of the Depression, she hated patched things. And so, I get something, I'll just patch it, take care of it. No, sir, I couldn't wear something that had to be patched. Just that pride, they were poor people. But I loved them and they loved me and I had a good home. That was my home. I was welcome there. When you make a home, make it a plan to make a home where your kids are welcome. And at the same time, you make a home where they know there are rules they don't cross. They know there's respect that needs to come to the parents there. You honor your father and you honor your mother. You not only obey the law of your father, you obey the law of your mother. And women, young women, you say, it's all new. Yeah, it is new. Let me tell you what, it is overwhelming to have a baby. And some of these poor women that have three, four, five, and six at the same time, that is overwhelming. One is enough of a problem. I just can't even imagine two. I see some of these people with five and six, you need some help. I tell you the truth. But instead of you worrying about what hurts your feelings, instead of you worrying about how you got slighted or you didn't get rewarded or praised, worry about your kids. Worry about the home they're growing up in. Worry about what their future is going to be, because bless your heart, you make a whole lot of their future by the rules that you live by. The way you live, they're going to live like you. Amen. They're going to live like you. So you better clean up your act. Amen. And you cannot afford, listen, decisions made on emotions are generally wrong. Down the line, they don't work. I don't mean you can't have good emotions with good decisions. That's true, you can. But a lot of people, when they're emotional, they don't think clearly. And so these little fights and fusses and these little hurt feelings and these little problems and difficulties, they're so little and so petty and so small. If you look back on them 5 years from now, you think, how could I have been that stupid? Am I right? That's talking about growing up. And the best thing you can do for your children is to grow up and be a good, solid, careful, loving woman who loves her children, loves her husband, respects her husband, respects her children, lays some lines out where the kids know, I don't cross over that line with Mama. Mama will take the SWAT out. I see, one time I got, I think it was two spankings and almost a third one. I did something disrespectful, of course. And my mama just used her hand. She just told me to lay over that bed because I knew better than to disobey her. I would not have run off. That would be real trouble in the future. And she spanked me what she could. When my daddy got home, he spanked me. When my sister got home, she was 7 years older than me. She wanted to. But a rod and reproof give wisdom. I learned there are certain things I didn't say to my mother. I learned, hey, I don't care how I like it. I don't care what. I remember one time I was 17, and I was probably about 170, 175 pounds. And I thought I was tough. And I remember my daddy and I are going at it, and I doubled up my fist, and he saw me double up my fist. And he took that old big left hand of his, and my ring finger would not fit on his little one. He had a hand on him. And he said, son, could you actually hit me? And I thought, I'd be a fool if I did. That sets some lines. You're going to have troubles. Hey, you're going to work yourself down to the bone. You're going to struggle and trial, and you're going to be so disappointed so many times. Your kids are going to let you down. They are. All kids let you down. But yet, you just might get blessed. I come down to these years. I've got five kids. I'm proud of all of them. We're all still friends with each other. You know, they're all different. They're all raised in the same house by the same mother and father, and every stinking one of them is different. I could improve all of them. If they'd come by and talk to me, I'd just be glad to give them some advice to improve them. Eddie was back from the Army in Germany and whatever, and he was working at a night job trying to go to college. And I went out to see him one night at his job. And he said, Dad, you haven't given me any advice in 6 months. I said, that's right. He said, thank you. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let me tell you, Mother, you got a great responsibility. Not only does the dad have the responsibility, and he has the whole responsibility. He's over all, and he has the whole responsibility. But mothers, you have a tremendous responsibility because God has put in your hands little lives that need to be influenced. They need to be influenced by love, wisdom, compassion, and they need to be influenced by the rod and reproof. They need it all, and all of them do. Even the very best of your kids, you need to do your very best work. You talk about a responsibility, you have a tremendous responsibility being a mother. God bless you.